Time being 7 o'clock. I call to order the Franklin School Committee meeting. Meetings are recorded by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29, as well as recorded by Franklin Matters. And real quick, I want to, Ruthann, thank you so much for stepping in at the last meeting when all of the Daves left town. And thanks to Franklin TV as well, because I was able to kind of watch that meeting. You did fantastic. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right. And if no, school's not in session, so we don't have our normal track for pledge students. So we called in some reinforcements. Might be able to, you kiddos, want to come on up to the mic?
Great.
All right, if everyone please stand. You can lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all very much. It was fantastic.
Captain America is in here.
And now, as is customary, we'll pause for a moment of silence. Thank you. All right, review of agenda. We actually, good catch, we got executive session. Thankfully, we don't have any reason to go into executive session tonight. So I'll entertain a motion to strike the executive session from the meeting.
Motion to strike the executive session from the meeting.
Second. Discussion questions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, fantastic. Otherwise, does the agenda look okay to everybody?
Hey, Dave, can we move the Horace Mann Legacy Subcommittee creation before the campus name?
Yeah. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, discussion questions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, excellent. Payment of bills, good. Payroll, Vice Chair McNeil.
Payroll's all set.
All right. No FHS reps. Superintendent report.
Okay, good evening, everyone. As we are at August 26th, there's been a lot that's happened, obviously, as we work towards the start of school. Just to remind everyone of some of the dates, our first day for all of our first grade through 12th grade students and age 22 students will be September 2nd, 2025. Our first day for our kindergarten students will be on September 3rd. And then the following days, on September 4th, the ECDC at Oak Street will start. And on the 5th, September 5th, the ECDC at Pond Street will start. So we're staging it out with our first through 12th grade, then our kindergarten, and then our two locations for one school for the ECDC on those two dates. Just to welcome back, just continuing with that theme, yesterday, August 25th, we were able to welcome back our entire Franklin Public School staff. I thought we had a really positive opening. I felt as though the energy in the air was certainly positive. A lot of optimism and balanced with some just concern around making sure that rooms were set up and schedules were made, and I feel like we've been working through that each day. As I said earlier, and I mentioned it to the staff, a lot of work has happened over 7 weeks over the summer. I put up a slide that had all of the different tasks that have taken place over that time. Scheduling, finalizing the schedules for 4,700 students, right? All of our staff members, relocating over 250 classrooms, you think about the thousands of desks that were moved. A tremendous amount of work happened prior to the 25th, and then when we welcomed everyone back, every staff member had to unpack those boxes that they had packed up in June. Our principals have been on roller skates. Our assistant principals have just been out there in the hallways, just moving around, trying to help everybody and problem solve. It's a great study in problem solving because there's so much happening all at once. I feel grateful for the team that we have. I really mean this. I am so excited about this year. I know this change. I've tempered my excitement out of respect for everyone who's at different stages. At this point, the reality's coming next week on Tuesday. It's here. And I know that the leaders that you have in the audience and The rest of the leadership team are sharing in that excitement around what we're building and the work that's happening, not only behind the scenes, but right up front. So we'll hear a little bit more about that later, but I wanted to share. These days have really been dedicated to a few things. I talked a little bit about kind of Maslow's hierarchy, and we start at the foundation. Just to provide a conceptual framework, we've talked a lot about shelter. Like, I need my schedule, I need my room set, I need the building set. We need everything kind of squared away from that angle, from a staff and leadership perspective. The next is safety. So we need to make sure that we are building in, are we safe, do we understand the protocols and plans? And we've conducted two trainings today. There'll be two more tomorrow with Synergy. They came out in 2018 to do school safety trainings for all of our staff. So now that new staff have moved into new buildings, they're getting trained in the building that they're going to be living in and working in. And I feel like those two foundational components set the stage for the next area, which is belonging. How do we create environments and connection? After that, trust is built. How do we build off of all those connections and continue to foster trust? And then the final stage of Maslow's hierarchy, I've modified it a bit, taking a little license here, but ultimately the end is how do we self-actualize into the school communities that we're trying to build. So a lot of work has happened, nuts and bolts, and we're just trying to set a solid framework. I want to say to all the families out there, and as a fellow parent, you can expect the same for your children and for you as well as a parent sending a child to school. Our goal is to really set the foundation with our students when they arrive, making sure that their shelter, their schedule, their understanding of the building and how things operate is really the first thing we do. The second stage is safety. We do our drills, but also just plans and how are classroom routines going to work. And that's going to build into the next stage, which is how do you build a classroom culture? Our teachers are masters at that. We can just get to that stage. And then following that is obviously trust is built in a relationship. We have a series of interactions where you've experienced follow through, honesty, right? Just building off of those concepts, respect. So I feel like if we can set the stage, we have a tremendous opportunity. I'm excited. I didn't write any of that. I went off the cuff a bit, but I mean it, and I'm excited about it. So that's basically how we spent the opening, is just making sure we are as prepared as possible to welcome students back next week. Next, just a staffing update. We've been providing them to you as we go along. Regarding our staff, as of today, we have processed and hired over 56 staff members for this year. I want to give a shout out to all of our leaders who screened in the committees, the folks who wrote the recommendations and called for references, the forwarding to three of us, Paula, Tina, and me, and then to HR, Susan Childers, Ken Storlazzi, and Shannon Dixon for their work to process and get them moving and get them hired. There's not a day I've gone by that I haven't seen Susan Childers outside in that little main foyer right on the second floor, sitting with someone explaining some paperwork or whatnot. So I feel like it's been a complete team effort, and we're fortunate to have the team that we have in place to do those things. Finally, just as a logistical notice, we'll send out our email notification test on September 22nd, and then there'll be a test call that goes out on October 16th at 4 p.m. We're working with ThrillShare. Folks should be receiving emails regarding updates. We have been working with folks who aren't, who we've heard haven't received. So there'll be more information at the start of school, but I wanted to give you a sense of some of the mass update notifications that I've been notified of today. So that concludes my report. Oh, yes, and on the screen. We can cue over the screen. These are just some photos that were collected over time that have been either sent to me, sent to Paula or Tina. We just have collected and gathered a few things. So if you look at these photos, I won't over-explain, but there's just a few moments here that took place along the past 2 days. Staff gathering at the high school, then in the auditorium. You can look in the top right. We had some of our high school students who were helping at the middle school to move some furniture. Every principal held an opening orientation. We will update this and add all the photos, but that happens to be one of the middle school one with Mr. Williams. And then if you look over to the left, you'll see some of the safety trainings that took place. So this is just a small smattering. We were really busy today, all of us. And I know you're all here. I'll keep my remarks brief because they worked really hard today and they're here tonight. So I want to just keep the meeting moving, but just a little taste of what went on, and I'll allow them to have some opportunities to speak as well. I'm happy to answer any questions on the report. I also have Colin Boisvert online right now, who can also help to fill in some of the blanks on the move, but I'll just start with what I shared.
Thank you very much. Start down here.
No questions for me, but I know you're moving furniture today too, so we are grateful for you and for all of the team at the schools for all the work that's been done this last few weeks and all summer. So thank you.
No questions for me.
Just a comment. So I appreciate your version of Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
I modified it.
For the group. I want folks just to remember that this is the process, and as you said, this is building the foundation to grow upon, and just because we're opening up schools next week doesn't mean that things are going to be perfect. It just means it's a process, and we're going to have to grow and adjust and communicate and ask questions and educate folks, hey, this is happening differently, why? You know, so I think as long as folks realize that, folks,
yes.
Staff and families, I think this would be a good year, but we just all need to come to know that it's not going to be perfect day one, and it happens.
Right. You always feel better when the pilot says there'll be some turbulence, and then you experience it when they are kind of quiet about it, and you experience it. It's a little bit alarming, so thank you for reinforcing that message.
Thank you.
No questions, but thank you very much for all the hard work you and the entire team have been doing to prepare for the upcoming year with the restructured districts, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for sharing the photos of the process, and we look forward to seeing how it all goes at the start, and just with what the district's looking like and how we're functioning in this new chapter.
Thank you.
No questions, but I share your sentiment. I feel the excitement. I see the pictures of you. Maybe I caught a bunch of pictures that maybe aren't even really widely shown to the public, just because I know so many teachers and things, and they're like, oh, this is so funny. And I'm so impressed with the team of leadership, especially right now that you have, like, getting the school culture ready to hit the ground, and just out of this team is like, I mean, I get why you're excited. I get it. It's a big accomplishment. So congrats and thanks.
Yeah, what you guys did today is not easy to move on. Great, appreciate it, and great teamwork. Thank you.
Really spectacular. Everybody, the administrative team, all of our teachers and educators. I really kind of put up all of Franklin's, every single one of the Franklin Public School employees up against any other school district's employees. As my college professor said, they would beat them dollars of donuts every single day. You guys are fantastic, and it is an entire team that's kind of coming together and to do this for our kids, and I am so incredibly thankful every single day that we have this team in place and all these great educators working towards just a better Franklin Public School System. So thank you.
Thank you. I also just have Colin on, and I've asked him to just share an update just from his perspective regarding some of the moves, and he's also overseeing transportation. There's a few things on his plate that I wanted him to just be able to share on. So, Colin, I'll pass it over to you to provide some highlights. Or updates. I don't know if there are highlights.
Thank you, Mr. Jaguar. As the superintendent mentioned, the move is coming together really well. We're currently collecting data from teachers and staff regarding any specific needs for the classroom at this point. As we presented, Sterling will return this Thursday and Friday to address those additional requests. Facility projects are progressing and painting is nearly complete. Work on the playgrounds are wrapping up, and any remaining playground work will continue over the weekends. And it will avoid disrupting recess. The remaining work will not impact any access for students to the area while it's completed. For transportation, you've seen an increase in communications from parents over the past week on a variety of topics. I want to thank Jana Malati for helping me respond to these messages. We anticipate being caught up by the end of the week with the influx that's come in. Updated bus stop information and times will also be released by the end of the week, with the communication going out when they're posted. I want to thank everybody for their continued patience as we work hard to respond to all inquiries as quickly and thoroughly as possible. And a special thank you today for Lucas, Andrew Duquette, Tina Rogers, Eric Stark, and Lizzie Morrison for helping me load and transport some urgent furniture needs for today. The entire district staff has been working incredibly hard to ensure we have the best possible start to the school year.
Any additional questions?
No, thank you. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you very much. I know it's just so much work all around that's going into making this as successful as possible. So I thank you immensely for the work you're doing. Yeah.
Colin, I wonder if we can just get a brief update on how things are going with transportation. I know last year was quite the adventure. This year, I've not seen too many comments, but I know there's a couple of parents that are always anxious for around this time of year, and we want to make sure that we're able to provide responses to all of them. So I don't know if you could provide a quick summary of kind of where things are, and let parents know, you know, really what our policies for the first 2 weeks, so just in case things aren't perfectly ironed out, what they can expect as we get back to school.
Yeah, sure. And Jana, too, if you're there, feel free to jump in on any of this. We, like I said, have gotten a variety of questions that we're working through. The bus routes that are posted, we do expect some slight modifications to from feedback and initial things that we've seen in either communications or just with working with the bus company. Just various changes since it's been released. Nothing major is going to change, but a stop might be updated, a time might be updated, a stop might be added or moved slightly. We'll make sure to communicate anybody assigned to those stops if they're impacted, but we don't really anticipate any major changes that would impact any routes specifically. It would just be about anybody who's late, somebody who's registered late, or maybe a bus stop had an incorrect GPS point that just needs to be cleaned up, something like that. And for the first few weeks, bus drivers are going to pick up students at stops. A lot of the bus ID cards are distributed during the first week of school, and kind of gives us that opportunity to make sure that we've gotten everybody a bus card who needs one. And again, if for whatever reason there was somebody who missed registration, we can try to address that in the first few weeks as well.
Excellent. Thank you.
Can I just add, separate of bus transportation, just want to set the stage again around the idea of the start to school. Every year, the beginning of school, it seems as though more people drive to drop off their children. So we typically see at the beginning more congestion than we see that seems to level out as we move through the year. We expect this year to see that as well. There's two things I would mention. Lincoln Street, that's an area where we are going to continue to monitor. But folks should be aware, the more people that drive, and particularly at the beginning, we're going to see how that is working and settle in, and then make recommendations if changes are necessary and or needed. But ultimately, we're aware of that area. The second is there was a change at the high school. Steve Sherlock posted this on Franklin Matters. He had a map. It was also communicated from the high school around the direction of one of the areas where typically people have been driving on the wrong side of the road for a period of time just to get across to Oak Street from Panther Way. So those can be found in communications from the high school, but it's also, if you go to Franklin Matters, you can go to one of Steve's most recent posts that he's put out that had the map and it had a description for anybody who's trying to navigate town. The signage is clear. The road markings are clear. It's if you had never driven there and weren't conditioned to it, it's probably pretty explanatory. It's just if you have been driving a certain way for a while, you'd see. But it does not allow you to turn left. There's a sign that's very clear about this, and it's for more information, the best thing you can do is probably look at that post if you're a citizen, and if you're a family member, you can look at one of the most recent newsletters from high school as well. Okay.
Thank you.
I just mentioned that I take that road all the time, mm-hmm. and lots of people are taking lefts, and still, but people will figure it out. So it's because it only affects people while they're in the parking lot
right.
of the Panther Way, not on Oak Street, and then they want to take that left. So there's not too many, but I think students in particular, that's the ones that I see still taking the left. It's like, they're the ones who don't see the signs. So I don't know, we might want to have somebody out there the first couple of days, because I do suspect it's going to get a little. Because I was one of those terrible people who drove on the wrong side of the road, because I'd go, oh no, I forgot, because that's how I go to my house. So I always go that way, and I'd go, oh no, the parent pickup line, and I'd be on the wrong side of the road. So I'm psyched that we did it, but yeah, I'm sure.
And I know that this will be communicated to our student drivers and it'll be part of the opening day.
Yeah. And it's very obvious. The sign is there. It's very big. Yeah.
Okay. So. Very good. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you all. Any other further questions, comments? All right. Jump on to new hire update.
Okay. So I provided it during my presentation. That said, I also emailed you a report for just some more of the data behind it. But ultimately, as I said, we are looking at, we have two teacher openings. We have 13 ESPs, an LPN, and a 10 non-union positions that we're still trying to fill. You can see from the report where our openings currently are. And we are continuing to work and screen and hire, and we're really working hard to fill those positions as soon as possible. We have contingency plans in place at each of the schools where those vacancies are occurring. And I'm confident that we can continue to move forward. We'll provide information as we start the year off and we'll continue. So anything to add on that, as far as?
We're really down to 10 ESPs. I got three today.
So. Oh, very good. 10 ESPs. Excellent. Thank you.
Huh? You signed them or do you have a candidate?
I signed them. Oh, okay. I signed three today.
I'm looking for
a candidate. Cool.
And just for folks maybe that are watching at home or watching later, if they themselves are interested in applying or know someone that could apply, where would some of these jobs be posted? Where could they find us?
They can find them on SchoolSpring and look and search by Franklin Public Schools, or they can go to our website in the HR tab and department, and you can find all the openings there as well.
They can also email their resume to Ms. Susan Childers. She will pass it along to any of us who need it. So,
fantastic.
Drop it off. We'll take it. Carrier pigeon.
Thank you. Questions, comments from the committee? We'll start down here.
No, thanks.
No, I think it looks great that we made good progress. And also, again, looking at historical norms, it seems like we are under that in a good way. Basically, we have fewer vacancies. We have the past couple of years, so just putting that perspective for everyone, there's been a lot of effort going on here. But appreciate the constant drive to really fill those roles.
Thank you.
All right, awesome. Thank you. Then moving on to family handbook presentations.
Without further ado, so every year, just to kind of orient the community, every year handbooks are voted by the school committee for approval. We do this in the second meeting in August every year, right before school starts. And typically our format has been around substantive changes and non-substantive changes. So I'm going to kick it over to Paula to share the process that she went through with the team. This was another initiative and task that took place this summer. As we moved and did all the other things, this is another one of those things that's highly critical and timely, and work that had to get done and needed to be prioritized at different points during the summer. So, Paula.
Okay, thank you. Yes, our admin team worked all summer on the handbooks to update them and to align them. As I'm talking, if you guys want to come up. So our ECDC folk, obviously Jillian and Kim, worked on the ECDC handbook. Our elementary principals and assistant principals worked on the elementary handbook. And then Craig and his team worked on the middle school. And then, of course, we have our three assistant principals here, Mrs. Klein, Mrs. Soulard, and Mr. Walsh, who worked on the high school handbook. I'd like to start by saying it was wonderful to see. We decided at our pre-treat at the elementary level that we were going to do one level handbook rather than having four individual school handbooks like we've done in the past. We really wanted to come together as an elementary level and create one handbook similar to what the middle school now and the high school has done in the past. It's really a great example of how aligned our practices and were and processes were across all the elementary schools as well as the three middle schools, because as you'll see tonight, there's really no substantive changes at the ECDC elementary and middle school level, and even at the high school level, there's really not that many substantive changes at all. So we'll start by having the high schools go through their substantive changes, and then we'll shift into the other levels where I'll probably speak as an overview. As I said, there's no substantive changes, but then everyone is here to be present for any questions you may have. So. Great.
Am I clicking for this?
Yes, you can click. Just go ahead. Okay, I just did that.
Thank you.
Yes. There you go.
Okay, so I'm going to kick it off. The first substantive change we have is the wind block that we have introduced that I believe was rolled out in the spring, I believe. You're familiar with it, but I'll explain it really quickly. It's a daily 30-minute block that we have added to our schedule to give students a chance to get personalized support. So during this flex period, we're not calling it flex, we're calling it WIN, because the WIN stands for what I need, so it's an individualized approach. So students can choose to get extra help or enrichment from a teacher. Teachers can also schedule students themselves, so it's sort of a dual purpose. Students can pick what they want, or teachers can say, you know what, I'm gonna need you to come see me this week. I want you to work on this or that. That approach allows everybody to sort of tailor exactly what they need. On Mondays, they will start in the home base, where teachers will be present for students as they're scheduling themselves, and then teachers themselves will schedule the next couple of days for the week, and that will happen every Monday, and that will be 30 minutes, like 9:50 to 10:20 every day. We had a team of a WIN block committee that had 10 people on it, including Mrs. Reed, our associate principal, and Dr. Weber, the principal, and almost every department from the school was represented on that committee. They worked all last year and some in the summer to sort of get this up. We kicked it off today. The platform that we're using is the same platform as eHall Pass or Securely Flex that we had been using for the last year. So the staff got to work with it. Mrs. Reed made some excellent videos about step-by-step instructions on how to do it, and staff wildly reported that it was well done, and they felt really comfortable after playing around with a few minutes that they'll be comfortable when we start on Tuesday. So students will spend the four days next week in their home base playing around with it and get comfortable, and then the wooden block will actually be up and running the following week on September 8th. Does anybody have any questions about that?
So our second change is in our tardy policy. One of the nice things about the slower pace of summer is that you get to look at the things that you don't during the year because it's too quick and things are moving too fast. So one of the things we looked at as a team this summer was our attendance and specifically our tardies. We have a significant number of students, I think probably since the pandemic, who amass more tardies than we would like. And we got a chance to look at the data, and it told us what we really already know, is that an old-fashioned traditional consequence like assigning an hour of detention for being late to school is ineffective. It doesn't help students, it's not a deterrent, and it does not help students change their behavior and build stronger academic habits. So we thought about what we could do, and we reworked the policy so that it is more grounded in MTSS framework to ensure that we are implementing the appropriate interventions at the right time. So we're going to be using our Panorama platform. We've developed three kind of custom strategies. Along the way, we've added them to the library, and the whole process overall engages parents much earlier. We hope that we are confident that this more collaborative process will really help students change their habits, get to school on time, and also we can discover and reduce the barriers that some families really experience in getting their kids to school on time. Any other questions?
Yeah, I do. So I love the approach. And this may be something that can we get for a presentation or update in June, if we can get like a what did last year look like, what did this year look like from a tardy perspective, so this we can have some quantitative data just to see what we're doing, what are the plans, if it hasn't changed, or how do we
change the duties.
Yes. Yeah, we're looking forward to the data as well, so.
Perfect. I actually do want better. Are we able to get updates maybe 3 months in?
Sure.
Just because essentially my thought is we want to make sure that we are keeping track of this. End of the year is a great time to identify and see a lot of things, but if we've gone through an entire school year and early on we identified here, it's working great, excellent. Fine, let's go ahead and see how it looks in June. But if we get through, you know, 3 months or so and there's either a decrease in efficacy or we're seeing some other kinds of challenges kind of popping up, it'd be nice to be able to kind of respond to that and really make sure that we're not just holding out.
Sure, yeah. It's going to, you know, these first couple weeks of school, we'll be working with our student support teams, our ISTs, to kind of update people on policy and kind of get our bearings. But I think it should be probably fully implemented by end of September. I think we should have things running smoothly, so we should be able to get that.
So November might be kind of a good time for that 3 month window.
Yeah, that's sort of the end of the first quarter for us.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yep.
And the third change that we're going to talk about at the high school handbook is it's a minor change as of now, and it's just simply in our section on academic dishonesty, we added AI to the statement about plagiarism. And it is important to notice that, you know, that's the last clause there was already there, but without giving credit and representing it as your own. So there's another statement about AI in the handbook that wasn't changed that talks about if a teacher has given prior approval, there may be, and that AI is used in an ethical manner, that it may very well be unacceptable technology to use. So we are, this year, we've dedicated an entire half professional development day in December, I think it's December 17th, where we're just looking at artificial intelligence. And I know that, I think it was on August 17th, DESE sent every school district a pretty hefty offering of guidance on AI. And I think, you know, we are well aware that this is a revolutionary, you know, advancement in really human history. And so it's kind of funny that our minor changes is important, and it's really important to teachers and students to know when something's considered academic dishonesty. But AI itself and how it's being used in our society is such a big issue that I think it really behooves us as a district to really spend a lot of time looking at how is this going to affect public education. So, thanks.
Do you have a question?
No.
I was going to ask. And maybe this is like a future thing. I am so curious, and this might be just a work in progress, how we, at what age and what grade level are we starting to teach proper use, and what does that look like? I think a lot of parents would be interested to know how to coach our kids kind of to complement what you guys are trying to also teach, because we're all trying to figure out what's appropriate, what's not, as parents. Maybe a future.
I think it is a future topic. I think for the state of today, was trying to create some guardrails for how we'll work. Mr. Walsh mentioned DESE's put out the AI information. They have recommendations on how to kind of launch this work. I think it's multifaceted. We have to look at our current digital learning standards. There is some intersectionality there. We also probably need to look at this from a task force approach, which they recommend. So I think it's a little bit deeper as we look at that, but yes, and also just literacy in general, how that AI literacy is actually a thing. And I can remember years ago, people remember when the internet came out, we started to see it more in school. You know, certainly there have been other moments. These are just getting more and more complicated and more access, but the same type of approach when we thought kids would just use Google to, you know, recite everything they would do. We figured out very quickly as educators on how to manage that. I think that's another challenge we have as well. So more to come on this. I think it's a much more complex topic, but I appreciate the comment because I do think families should have, as part of our plan, it should include how do we engage families so they can support their children in the use of AI as we move forward as well.
Thanks.
Thank you for including this in the new handbooks, and being forward thinking about this, because you're right, this is really an inflection point in human history in terms of what AI will be, and we're just getting started, and it's already become so huge. So yeah, like, this will be something that we'll need to continue to revisit in the handbooks, but also I'm sure on district policies as well. And when you mentioned the professional development data we have, the DESE guidelines, like regarding use of artificial intelligence, like is included in there, are there, I guess, recommendations or guidelines or ways that educators can identify the use of AI that we're like starting to teach our educators, or like how, and again, recognize this is very early, but of course, you know, policy is great, but we need some way to enforce it as well. So I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, well, I'll second what Lucas says about, you know, the fact that this is going to require, you know, a task force level effort.
Sure.
I know that the DESE guidance does not get into things like the when, the how, and why schools use AI, so, you know, there's still a lot to be determined.
Yeah, of course. It's very early, and things will still evolve, but yeah, I hope at least when we're thinking forward on these, that we'll be able to supply our educators with, I guess, the tools and support to be able to identify the use of AI as well. So, thank you.
Questions? One of the concerns I have, and I really appreciate the language here, talking about giving credit representing as your own being the main challenge. There are issues with even some of the detection tools for AI having hallucinations of their own. It is rare. I think people like leaning on that a lot because it's a very easy way to say, no, your system's broken. I definitely didn't do that. Do we have something in place in case that is suggested, or in case there's a possibility that the detection system itself may be flawed in certain settings?
So right now, teachers are using whatever they're comfortable with, and we, you know, as far as AI detection, you know, there isn't a uniform detector that we're using, to my knowledge.
There isn't, but I also know that teachers will also look at like a version history of something, mm-hmm. that, you know, if you're typing on a Google Doc, you can see as it's typing, or you can see a whole paragraph pop up. Typically, that is a clue that maybe something else is going on, or at least the start to a conversation about how that paragraph showed up. So I think part of the AI is, it's not planned yet, but one of the things we're talking about is that it's a tool, right? So with any tool, there's benefits and negatives to both. So how can we help educators move their work forward, but also how do we help students learn to use it responsibly and show if they do use it, how do we find it, and how do we teach kids to use it appropriately in the future? So I think it'll be a dual purpose of how do you help us move education forward, and how do you help students use it appropriately as they're growing as learners and going into this world where this is only going to increase. So I think it'll be twofold.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can I add one piece here? Is the Office of Teaching and Learning is also working very closely with the tech department. They've shared some of their research that they've looked into a variety of different tools, and we're looking to kind of dig into what those are and what are we going to bring forward as our kind of AI tools that we're going to be utilizing a bit more in the district to be able to train folks on. And then to your point, how are we evaluating, like with any plagiarism, it's not just, you know, a history search either. There's more to it. There's conversations, there's a whole host of things. So we are working closely with the tech department to evaluate those tools as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to thank you all, you know, so much, especially I love, you know, when you talk about using AI as a tool. And I know this has kind of come up a couple of times when we've had this discussion. You know, it's a big undertaking, and I don't envy educators right now in this kind of space as we kind of move forward. You know, but you're not, you know, just putting your head in the sand, but at the same time, not just kind of asking ChatGPT to develop a PD, you know, for anti-AI stuff. Really kind of being thoughtful about it is fantastic as we kind of just move forward and try to embrace it the best that we can. And I want to say, too, with those wind blocks, just as a parent, I'm looking forward to those so much. I know my daughter had so much success with the flex periods over in middle school, and now kind of knowing that similar kind of idea exists moving into the high school. I think it's terrific, and it helps out so students at all different levels as well, which is just fantastic. So I'm very excited, and I can't wait to kind of see how that all rolls out. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Now I'll have our EDC elementary and middle school students. So as I said earlier, there really was no substantive changes across these three levels. Just some minor tweaks. Our updated school contact information, both school phone numbers and absentee lines and administrators and whatnot. We updated the strategic objectives across all four schools, which you'll get to see when we come in next meeting, I believe, when we present our DIPs and SIPs. And then we added some language around curriculum notice. So there's some language in there that regarding a parent's right to request information from the building principal or regarding accommodations related to any curriculum content. That was also added to all our handbooks. So Ms. Taylor, Mr. Hendrickson, and Mr. Williams are here to answer any questions about handbooks or if you want to ask them up there.
No substantive changes besides like everything.
Right, I know, that's what we said. But like, no substantive changes except putting five schools into one handbook and, you know, naming everything. And as I think, you know, to quote someone in the room or else Mr. Giger, every piece of paper that they put their fingers on had to be changed across the last few weeks because it has a hawk on it, or an acorn, or something. But no substantive change.
Fantastic. And we'll first just again, give it thanks. But this is spectacular. I will be following you on the gram, as those kids say. And how has the first few days been? Just as we're kind of coming on back here, seeing you.
It's great energy in the building. We've done a lot over the summer to be prepared for this. The team has custodians, all staff around, like secretaries. I mean, it's just been a huge effort up to this point, and so it's just been a lot of preparing, and then having teachers back in the building, staff back in the building, I know was really exciting. Good energy, trying to figure everything, get all the logistics ready for next week when kids come back. But so far, real positive.
Yeah, energy is very high at the middle school. Excited for the three schools to come together and become one. I keep describing it as, today was better than yesterday. We're a little more prepared yesterday. We were a little more prepared than the day before. And it's just so exciting to think on Tuesday, we'll have 1,040 kids in that building. And that's, that's what we're excited for. That's what we do. And so we're ready and just can't wait for that to happen.
Energy, very high energy level of staff. Positive vibes for sure. This may seem small, but we were very excited to not have to ask to borrow someone's big space to have our opening staff meeting yesterday. So we were able to meet on Pond Street in the gym without having to reach out to Mr. Hendrickson and ask, can we use your cafeteria? Not that that is a bad thing, but it was nice to be able to set up our own space and come together in the second of our two locations. So, we're joking about this back and forth, driving up and down, see how we swing back and forth between each building, but we're trying to work all those details out right now about coverage and but it's been, the energy is high and we're excited.
Even some dancing for donuts.
All wonderful.
But just overall, I think we talk about the opportunity that we have and that our staff has to create something new, create something great for the community. And I think it's been a long trip to get here, but that's what we're excited to do. We're excited to really bring kids and staff along and make this great, because we see it as a really good opportunity for this community.
Yeah, and to add to that, one of the things that I asked my staff was, who better than us?
Yeah.
You know, who better than us to have this opportunity? Because we have a tremendous staff that is coming together with people in new roles and just new capacities. And for myself, who worked in all three of the buildings and know the quality of educator that's coming together, it's so exciting. And so, yeah, I keep asking that question, who better than us?
Fantastic. Thank you all so much. And now, any kind of questions from the committee?
No questions for me. I have two very excited kids ready to get back in that building too. So thanks for all your work.
No questions, but thank you all for all the work you've been doing in preparation for the new school year. We love the attitude and the energy. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I use the phrase you said, Craig, a lot. Worst part of a first job is the first year. First worst part of the first year is the first month,
mm-hmm.
first week. So it's only up from here.
Mm-hmm.
And who better than you? I love that. That's how I feel about the district right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, create some curriculum around AI. Who better than this group? Like, that's how I feel. So, yeah, I like that. Let's adopt that. Who better than you guys? Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'm glad to see you guys there. I just want to comment on the previous one, the wind block thing. The wind block is a one of a kind program. I think every parent should take advantage of that. And spending 30 minutes for each student is not easy for a normal school district. Definitely to make our school district like, you know, to a different level. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And I also want to, I know, Paul, you had mentioned talking about like, the alignment and about how this is, you know, the elementary and the middle school alignment. And you know, while we're just saying kind of seeing it here in the handbooks, it really kind of paints such a bigger picture that I know Steve Sherlock and I kind of talked about this on Chalkboard Chats, talking about with this reorg and how, you know, there was certainly a time where, you know, the experience you might have at one school on one side of town might be entirely different from the experience you might have at the elementary school. And while each school is going to have their own flavor, I've no doubt, and there's different experiences, this alignment of coming together, that no matter where you are in Franklin, you're going to have this amazing, incredible experience, really kind of oftentimes we're going to mirror over at the other schools, is just so incredibly terrific. I really appreciate all the work that's gone into this handbook, but then just the bigger picture of things too. So thank you. And I look actually hearing just kind of about like all the energy you guys had. Sorry, I didn't want to leave high school out. How's the energy going over there? Is there any dancing?
We've had a really positive first couple days. Everyone was wearing the same t-shirt today. We did a staff photo, which we've done, we did last year, and we're doing it again this year. So our focus this year is about continuing to build community. We started out with a new admin team last year, and so that was the focus of our year. So we're continuing to do that this year. We wove in some community building activities with some, you know, professional learning about WIN. So we've had a really good balance of time to connect and time to work. So it's been really positive, and we're really grateful for our fabulous educators as well, because we have a really strong team. We made some excellent hires over the summer, and we're just really excited. So thank you for asking.
Thank you, guys. All right.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you all very much. I know it's been a very long day.
Yes.
All right.
So we sequence this well. They can go hear the votes. They stay for another minute, or they can.
And they
did game out. They heard. You're in charge. Yeah, just wait.
Thanks.
Thanks
for coming.
Okay.
Thanks for
coming. Yeah. I can come back. Just
okay.
Follow Franklin Matters. You'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It's been a long 2 days.
You're kind of hoping it's going to be like the cheerleaders, right?
Yeah.
We say yes and we hear about it.
Yeah.
Parking lot. Yeah. All right, so discussion action items.
Hoping for a footloose season there, it didn't happen, but that's okay. So it's a sequel. I recommend approval of the 25-26 ECDC Family Handbook as discussed.
All right, is there a motion?
Move to approve the 25-26 ECDC Family Handbook as discussed.
Second?
Second.
Discussion, questions? All right, vote will come to motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passes.
I recommend the approval of the 25-26 Elementary Family Handbook as discussed.
Is there a motion?
Move to approve the 25-26 Elementary Family Handbook as discussed.
Second?
Second.
Discussion, questions? All right, vote will come to motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I recommend approval of the 25-26 Middle School Family Handbook as discussed.
Is there a motion?
Move to approve the 25-26 Middle School Family Handbook as discussed.
Second?
Second.
Discussion, questions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
I recommend approval of the 25-26 Franklin High School Family Handbook as discussed.
Is there a motion?
Move to approve the 2025-2026 Franklin High School Family Handbook as discussed.
Second?
Second.
Discussion, questions? Seeing none, vote call for motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, excellent.
Thank you very much.
Okay, shine a light down there and let them know.
Oh, yes, I can knock on the windows. We're doing still in the parking lot. We're good. Most of them
are
trying to get to the shed or something.
Yeah. Okay, on with the meeting.
Can I note one thing before we move on? So tomorrow, families can expect, given that you approved the handbooks, we're trying to streamline the amount of communication families receive. So folks can expect an email with a Google form that will look for sign-offs on student handbooks, that will look on sign up, look for a sign off or consent on various digital tools, and the photo release. So parents can, you know, opt in and out of each one of those. They have to sign off on the handbook, but that is coming tomorrow. So we're looking for folks to get those signed off on as soon as possible.
So the sign off, is there a due date that they have to have done by?
There will be, and I can get that to you.
It'll be clear in the communication.
Yes, it will be.
We have in the past sometimes given these items out once the school year kicks off, which as a parent, you know, it's quite a hectic time when you're trying to get your households. So one of the goals was to try to get that out ahead of the school year, even if only by a few days, to allow folks to at least read it over. And there'll be a date later once the school year is off.
September 12th.
There we go.
Thank you.
Perfect. Good question. All right, am I changing the order here? Am I reading F first and then E?
Correct.
Okay. So I recommend creating, this is just for context, you've had discussions in the spring regarding Horace Mann, the legacy, and the idea of the campus, and also the legacy kind of planning, what that could look like. So there's two votes on this, and I can read them both, and then I'll kick it over to you, Mr. Callahan, to kind of explain with further detail. Does that make sense as far as the meeting goes to allow for discussion?
Certainly, you could read them or both, or we could just do we'll do the legacy first, if you want to just officially kind of vote on that, and then just kind of procedurally jump down.
Did you want to say anything ahead, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I can kind of, if you want, Superintendent Jaguar mentioned, it was back in May, when we kind of had the last discussion about the Horace Mann campus naming, and just an entire discussion all about that, and so that's where this kind of got synthesized down to, where have the creation of a school committee subcommittee where we can try to figure out how best to honor Horace Mann's legacy kind of moving forward, including the Horace Mann campus naming if that's approved. But there's also some other ideas as well. I know that there's a community relations meeting where I think Aaron, you had mentioned the idea of creating like Horace Mann like takeaways and flyers activities that can kind of be had at like strawberry strolls and harvest festivals. I've heard from other a longtime Franklin resident, when they said back when they were in school, she remembers celebrating Horace Mann's birthday in school. There was even a song that went along that she couldn't remember, which is probably for the best. But just the idea of how we, you know, really kind of honor his legacy, even as Paul had mentioned in our discussion too, this is a father of public education, And one of the best ways to honor his legacy is to ensure that we have a properly funded, fully funded public school system as well. So that's kind of where that came from, and then along with the naming convention as well. But then just as we switched up, we just made some adjustments with the agenda. Yes, Superintendent Shakir, if you can kind of kick us off with the subcommittee creation.
Sure. So I recommend the creation of the Horace Mann Legacy Subcommittee as discussed.
All right. Is there a motion?
Move to approve the Horace, move to create the Horace Mann Legacy Subcommittee as discussed.
Second.
Second.
All right. Discussions, questions?
Question. As in some other, I guess these are more liaison positions. Related to subcommittees, there are other community members that might be involved in something like this. I can see that there might be folks that either work for the schools, like teachers in the schools, or folks in the community that might be interested in being involved in the creation of this legacy. Is that an option or an opportunity that we can see connected to this?
I think absolutely, at least the way that I'm kind of envision it myself. I know the Historical Commission has already kind of like reached out to say that they would be interested in helping or contributing in any kind of whatever capacity that they can. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a three-person school committee, subcommittee, that just kind of like it is with budget and with policy and with, so that way we're the ones that are kind of running the ship, the schools, but to also kind of extend some seats at the table for community members, Historical Commission, other folks that might be, where it might make sense, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
To do this in a vacuum, wouldn't it, it's gonna be a more yeah. group of us to
absolutely, perfect, yes. Sounds good.
Okay. I just wanna make sure that as we kind of go into this, that we're very clear on the scope of what we're looking to do. I think it's definitely a very important legacy to uphold. And make sure that we keep, you know, front and center in the community. I think there's always a risk when we just kind of use very broad strokes that in the end, no one will be happy because everyone has their own mindset as to what we might actually be able to accomplish and what the goals are. So I do think that, you know, if we're able to establish this, this is something that has to make sure that it is very clear in what it is looking to do, how it's looking to do, and kind of what the deliverables are going to be, instead of just checking out, you know, what's his legacy? It's like, okay, is it a history lesson? Like, or is it ways that we can implement, you know, really an understanding of the importance of public education in our school systems and in the community, which I think is fantastic. But we just want to make sure that we have those kind of points that everyone knows what we're hoping to get out of this.
Mm-hmm. Setting up kind of goals and guardrails as we kind of move forward.
And just the rationale of why I was thinking of switching it, because I felt like the naming of the campus was part of the legacy, so I feel like it should be something that we put to the subcommittee to do that, so it may be premature for us to just say yes, vote on that, because then we're already establishing the foundation of this is what we're doing as a legacy. But I agree with the idea that we need to have folks from different bodies represent this and come up with different ideas as well. But ultimately, it is the school committee's decision to make that final to execute whatever needs to be done. But I think from a naming perspective, if we do that now and then form the subcommittee, like, what is their purview and like what else are they going to do in addition to that? So I think we should leave anything regarding the Horace Mann legacy to the subcommittee. If it gets approved and established.
I'll just speak briefly just to one piece. I think the idea or current sentiment around is that there's a three-person school committee that will be a subcommittee, just like the policy and budget that makes recommendations to the whole committee to vote, because ultimately the outcome of this will be a school committee vote decision. I may have recommendations, but ultimately I recommend on many different aspects, and many times it comes down to what is your authority. This is an area where I believe that to be true. The other piece is it's just as important, I think I heard this mentioned a few times, to say what this committee will do and what it won't do. Because what I would worry is if it's too broad, there are a thousand, I just know from my own, we all know from our own experience, people come at these things with their own understanding unless we make it clear on what the understanding is. This isn't a school renaming committee, right? This is about the legacy of Horace Mann and how does that live. And I think my recommendation just to the superintendent is, I think, to some degree, kind of identifying the goal, whether it's through the subcommittee or through the school committee to charge to the subcommittee, is going to be really, really helpful so that it's clear on what the mission is, so that you can kind of set expectations for anyone who wants to be a part of it or not. And I don't mean censoring or like creating too much of a guardrail where it's completely steered, but ultimately being honest about what the charge of the committee would be and not. So I agree with the comments that were made. I think the legacy is important. I think it's valuable to have perspectives from, to gather perspectives as a subcommittee from others within the community that have other roles and other vantage points. And I think that's the work that can be accomplished, but I would just agree with that. The other piece would just be what is the goal is to try to look at that legacy. So I think, Mr. Charles, your point was around the campus naming. If that is a recommendation of the subcommittee to the school committee, that's what you were seeing as a process.
Mm-hmm.
You could make an argument too around if there's no charge or no goal to kind of point to the mountain you're going to hike up, how do you backwards plan? So I think those are the conversations that you need to have as a committee as well. But I understand why taking it out of order was the legacy piece first. So mm-hmm. If you want to take this piece of the time, it's up to you.
Thanks. And I think what I will say too, just on that, the way that where I kind of got from when we had this discussion back in May, was kind of that idea of saying, all right, this is the Horace Mann campus, was something that there was a lot of discussion about, positive discussion. So to say, well, this would be one of the first goals of that subcommittee is how do you take that kind of charge and turn it into a reality, kind of take it off the minutes of the meeting and then make it into something of substance. And that's where this, one of the first goals of that subcommittee would be. If we kind of go and we're saying, well, this is the charge. But we could certainly kind of have that discussion once we're doing the naming.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great idea to have a subcommittee to explore Horace Mann's legacy and how we can honor him as a community. It's a great part of our history that has not only local but national implications. It's really, his work is rippled out throughout history and really defining what public education in America is. And I think having this committee to define how we honor him beyond just building names or campus names. I think that would be great. I mean, I'm fine with naming the campus now and then seeing and handing over the task to the subcommittee what we can do beyond that. If they want to revisit that, maybe we can define that as part of the purview. I think it would be great for the subcommittee to have this jumping on point to see what else we can do above and beyond naming the campus, which I'm also supportive of. So, yeah.
Thank you.
I guess I'm just, I don't want to drag this all out, but I do want to try to figure out if it's hard to vote to create a committee and bypass a name if we're not figuring out right now what the charge of, like, what the charge of the committee is. Shouldn't that be part of this discussion right now? Like to me, I'm picturing like, okay, the purpose of the committee is to bring awareness that Horace Mann is from Franklin, so it's branding. So plug for RN to be on the committee. It's about educating the community on Rose Farm. It's about the community being educated about his legacy. So there's some community relations, type work to do. And then it feels like the third would be around, I think especially as a school committee perspective, around appropriate support of his legacy, meaning funding. And so that becomes like a community relations type thing too. So Paul, bringing that up is a good, yeah, so I just formed the committee in my brain. This is already the policies with all of us here almost all together. But I just, like, branding, education, and funding, to me, is like the purpose of the subcommittee. I don't know what else we would try to do here. Because I know one of the things that we were sort of like having a discussion around was, if it's not naming an actual building, will it ever be used kind of thing? So I think the branding is important. But I, just the priorities of what the district has done and like, make no mistakes, we have excitement because we've sort of saved ourselves with the redistricting, and we have this amazing team leading our schools and educators that we've been able to retain and recruit. So now, taking this on feels to me like so, I want to see how the year goes and everything. At the beginning of the school committee, this school committee, one of the first public comments was from Steve Sherlock, who said, I think you guys have more work than the number of people you have. Like, you should use 9. And there's plenty of people running this time around, so maybe the town council, I mean, like, Nancy's probably already ordered the ballots. But to me, it's like, I don't know how this gets prioritized when we have a brand new district with a certainly an anticipated deficit. I don't know if everybody saw the finance committee meeting, but we're not, you know, in great shape as a town. So this just feels like, I don't want to devalue Horace Mann's legacy, but like actionable this year for the school year for the kids. I want to be sure that we're defining what this is about. And otherwise it could look like one of those subcommittees that just like drags on and on, like Davis Day reuse, like never goes anywhere. Sorry, Alan, there's like a lot of communities out there that just don't, not ours. You know, we get things done, but you know. Anyway, I don't know what it's worth. You know, I'm open to whatever the group decides. But I don't really know what the scope of the work is going to be. I don't know if we should define that here now and just figure it out. But I don't want to be here all night either. These guys moved all day, so anyway. My thoughts.
Yeah, my thoughts is, and I agree with the Paul what he just said, that it's not like a naming convention. I don't see any opposition or anything like that. So that's a legacy we need to discuss, not the one naming is already, you know, we all agree with them, obviously. So we should discuss what the legacy is going to be laid to the planet across the school district. That's all.
All right. Okay. Any other questions, comments right now?
Would we, you know, and obviously not making the motion at the moment, but just for the discussion purpose, would we look to potentially table this until we can give a very specific outline as to what this committee is going to be to kind of resolve some of these questions? You know, just creating it name, great, fine, like that. I think we all agree there's a lot of value in making sure that we are honoring Horace Mann's legacy. But the gist of kind of what I'm hearing is that people really want to make sure that we know what this is going to be here. And what the committee's or subcommittee's next steps are. So I don't know if people have any kind of thoughts about, you know, basically saying what is this going to be and vote on it as such, versus just kind of create it and then hope we figure it out later.
So that's where, if I may, the idea of originally kind of having the campus naming something that was, there was a lot of positive energy and discussion on the May meeting to kind of start things off with that, to say, you know, yes or no, are we going to do this? So that way, if the committee says, you know what, yes, we had those discussions back in May, we had it in policy, we're going to go and we're going to name this plot of land the Horace Mann campus. Now, how do we actually kind of get that accomplished? It's going to be through a subcommittee. And that would be the first task of that subcommittee. But where the subcommittee still will be able to kind of go and figure out other avenues that they can kind of go on up and take a look at, the very first goal would be, how do we take this reality, the Horace Mann campus name that had kind of been discussed at policy subcommittees and at the full school committee, how do we make that a reality? And again, I know we moved up the order, and we can still kind of do both of those, or, you know, start with creating that legacy, and then just kind of jumping on to say, all right, is this one of the very first tasks that we're going to ask the subcommittee to kind of go and to establish?
So I guess my only concern is, if we establish a name now, and then we charge the subcommittee to figure a way to implement it, we don't know how long that would take and what would need to be done. So like, in essence, as if we vote yes for the name today, officially upon voting yes, that is the name, but do we know how we will, when it would have any labeling, any distinction other than what it is as right now, you know? So like, I think that's where, as part of the subcommittee, that should be part of the plan, so that this way, when they come back and say, okay, this is the name, this is also the things that we need to do. be it paid for signage, where is the funding going to come from that? Any distinction, you know, like, I think those are the, like, the how we do it is important, or just hasn't been made.
Can I get that? And how are the committee, my kind of two cents is kind of more akin to with this reorganization too, where we kind of went and said, this is the charge, this is what we're looking to do. And then now how, you know, 18 months later, how does that kind of get accomplished and what are we looking at? But just to be able to, instead of kind of creating a subcommittee that we're not sure what it is, what its intent is, instead of kind of spending, you know, time where seven are trying to kind of come up with a subcommittee to say, here's one charge, subcommittee is going to kind of work on that charge and then kind of report back really for a new term for whomever's are in the seats at that time.
Right. Yeah, that's part of the reason. I appreciate where you're coming from because I do think the committee idea is a good idea because I think launching this actual idea is going to take work. I don't want to diminish the work that was done in policy subcommittee because we did have a lot of guests come and were part of that big roundtable conversation when we brought it to you guys to vote on. And that included people from the Historical Commission, included Steve Sherlock, you know, town council members. So, so we came with that recommendation to kind of say, okay, this is what we're gonna do. And I'd like to keep it that way. I'd like to continue with what we brought to you guys. I think it works. I think it pleased the people that were in the room that day, and that the idea of bringing them back to the table as a committee to execute it is a good charge. And I think it involves community, but it doesn't diminish the work that we did, because it was a couple meetings worth of sort of research and collaboration with some town council members and things. So that's kind of what I stand. I'd like to approve the campus. I like that idea, and I think it'll give us something to spring off of to gather outside members to join us if they know that the task is going to be to run with this and come up with what this looks like and how we implement it in town. It feels like a charge that we could task the subcommittee with a little more specifically. So I would like to support the second vote, but I understand why you thought you could work backwards, but I do feel like it is, I do feel a little bit of ownership to it. I do, we put a lot of thought into it, so I don't necessarily want to give that to a different committee to do the work all over again and maybe get some people in the meetings, this Historical Commission and things like that. I think we did a lot of that. Like, you were talking to people, even offline, going to Historical, so there was some more work behind the thought, behind why we brought that to you guys.
Right. Any other discussions, comments? All right, so again, this is for the creation of the Horace Mann Legacy Subcommittee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion passes. And as with any other kind of subcommittee, if you just want to shoot me a message, text, email, if you're interested in serving on that one, and then we'll kind of put that together. There, just with the timeline, there is some benefit where we can kind of meet potentially in September, once again in October, really kind of set those goals and guardrails, as then we kind of move forward with whomever else is kind of sitting in those seats. All right, so now we'll go on to Horace Mann Campus.
Just for procedural clarity, the Horace Mann Legacy Subcommittee has been voted to be established. As a committee, individuals will reach out to you, Dave, to express interest. Mm-hmm. You'll identify three members of the school committee to be on the subcommittee consistent with other subcommittees. I'm just saying this out loud so we're all on the same page. And then the charge of the three members of the subcommittee would be to come together to discuss this further and add clarity to the scope of the legacy work to bring back to the committee to share an update or a recommendation. I'm just thinking procedurally on how I'm hearing this. Am I interpreting this correctly? Or are they running as a subcommittee basically going to be determining kind of the scope of this as a charge before, obviously, you invite others and you want to get that obviously done in the month of September, you want to at least have an initial meeting to kind of walk through what that could look like. Am I hearing this correctly? Or?
I think what may be best, and I'll just kind of chime in, we'll still kind of go, we still have one more motion as well, and a recommendation with the campus name.
Okay.
We'll kind of see where that lands. But then at the same time, I do think for the, like, for the very first inaugural meeting, it would be best, as just within the school committee, the members from the, three members from the school committee and from the district, and then later.
We've done that in the past with other committees as well, where it's just the school committee to start to really knit, like Al and Mervum. So I think we've done this in the past.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, perfect. Okay.
And then that subcommittee will determine the goals and bring it to us for.
Report out to.
Yeah, that feels like.
We've updated the subcommittee section of your agenda, where someone from that committee will be representative and share out. That's how we've typically done it procedurally. Or one of us.
All right, and then so now we'll go to last discussion action item, Horace Mann campus name.
I recommend the Franklin High School, the Franklin School Committee designate the school land located on Oak Street in Panther Way, encompassing the Early Childhood Development Center, Franklin Middle School, and Franklin High School as the Horace Mann campus as discussed.
All right, is there a motion?
Move to establish the Horace Mann campus as discussed.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Discussion. Should we start down this way?
I'm all set.
Okay. And just to clarify, so if this passes, that land will be known as the Horace Mann campus. However, we do not have a plan on how that will be used in any way in terms of signage, in terms of letterhead, in terms of anything other than what we've discussed here. So anything that's visible, and that will be under the purview of the subcommittee to go into effect.
Correct. So this would be effectively like that. This would be voted upon by the school committee, but then charged to that subcommittee to make that into a reality. So what does that look like, and so on and so forth, and then those during the subcommittee information matters would then report back out and say, you know, here's the banners that we're looking at, here's the signage for the whole school committee to continually receive updates.
Okay, and then until that is approved, no bodies would be using that in terms of their communication. So for example, Craig Williams would not be using any, like, a signature, Franklin Middle School at the Horace Mann campus.
No. Because that's not, even with a charge, it's like setting the stage, but it's still, it's the Franklin Middle School, so his letterhead will always encompass that. So to your point, Mr. Charles, is how is this being used and in what way? And I think those are the decisions that have to be determined. And also, we have to look at it from a procedural standpoint. What makes sense, and how do you honor someone's legacy? And is it the letterhead connection, or is it, are there other ways in which this committee makes recommendations? So. Because it'll still, the school, the principal of the school is going to be sharing information from the school letterhead, right? We have that. I think this is the conversation that needs to happen. I think it's one that needs more discussion for sure, because I think there's many perspectives on this topic for sure.
I'm
just
thinking.
I just have one more question too. I think this is it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
If you almost want to go down,
sorry,
circle back.
No, I think, you know, this is that stepping stone. You know, it's a start. I think there are a lot of different ways we're able to utilize this, and it gives the subcommittee that we just approved, you know, grounds to kind of work off of. I think we need to make sure that we're giving them something to start with instead of just saying, go figure it out, good luck, you know, very, very broad kind of strokes. So here, you know, this is that initial point where, you know, Mr. Charles' point, there are a lot of different ways that we can try to utilize this to make sure that we're honoring and recognizing Horace Mann's name. And if we're able to kind of start off with this one step as a committee, I think it lets the community also see different ways to buy in and different ways of trying to get involved. So I think this is an important first step.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, the same way as when we named the schools this past spring, and then it's up to the schools and the community to create the culture and the spirit and the, you know, feeling behind them. Same thing, right? It's up to the subcommittee to create the spirit behind what the name is.
I was just going to say, so the subcommittee would bring recommendations to us. It's not really going to be a subcommittee to do all the things. We'll still get to be part of that conversation as a school committee.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all.
All right. Any other discussions, questions? All right. Seeing none, vote will come to a motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion passes. All right. Thank you all. Discussion only items, none. Information matters. Has anyone met? We're all, it's been kind of nice. No offense to nobody, but.
No, we haven't. So, community relations sounds like that, but there will be a newsletter that's coming out. So, expect the preview in the coming days, and it should be out Tuesday, maybe on Thursday.
Awesome. Thank you. And one thing too, just as we're having a discussion about AI, as mental health task force kind of starts to kick back up again, maybe that might be something to kind of talk about, or one of those. You guys have a lot on your plate, won't get that anymore. But I know you often kind of set the stage and figure out what you're going to. That could be just one idea. All right. Then otherwise, we'll jump into consent agenda.
I recommend approval of the minutes from your August 12, 2025 school committee meeting as detailed.
All right. That was a quick consent agenda. is there a motion?
Move to approve the consent agenda as detailed.
Second?
Second.
Discussion questions?
Is that the one that I ran?
Yes.
Is that, because I misspoke at the end of that and I gave out a wrong number. Is that something worth mentioning here or no?
It's an accurate capture.
You have the opportunity now. You review the minutes.
I mean, I think I quoted that I got called out on this, and you know, I'm not perfect. I was thinking of the facilities number, but the entire sort of net school spending umbrella that's not under the superintendent's purview is much more than $7 million. Do you know what that number is? It's like 20.
I want to say 19.
Yeah, like 20 million-ish.
Ms. Pilates.
Somebody was like, it's a lot more than 7 million. Yeah. I was like, okay, sorry, you're right. Yep. I'm thinking of facilities.
She raised her hand, I think, so do you want to hit?
Jana, of course she does.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi, it is 19 million and change within.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's a lot more than 7 million. So if we want to correct that, it's, you know, I am aware. I just want the people to know that I am aware that it's a bit more.
Thank you. All right. And I want to again thank Franklin TV because I was able to recap and watch that meeting, and they'll be able to vote on the consent agenda here. All right. Any other questions, comments? Seeing none, vote will come on a motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion passes. Citizens' comments. Are there any citizens in chambers or online that would like to make a comment on an item not on tonight's agenda and falls within the committee's purview? Take it away.
Steve Sherlock, 13 Magnolia, Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. Yeah, thank you for all your work and the updates. Hadn't been in logistics before. I know the problems. And I've seen some of the pictures of the boxes, and I can just imagine. So thank you all for doing what you're doing. I know it'll come out eventually. So two other quick updates. One of the studio members, Chris Flynn, is also working on a video series on Harvest Man, which prompted me to read one of the books that he's used as his background building, creating the scope and text, and he's looking for actors to play the roles. So there has been advertisement through Franklin Matters before. If somebody else happens to hear, contact Franklin TV and say, I'm interested. It'll be a highly interesting thing. Having read the book very briefly, he's got an interesting story. It's not just education. But then more importantly, in terms of what we do, Coley, many of you are getting into the election season. The community will be getting into the election season. The nomination papers are out, signatures are being done. There'll be a rather compressed time from September 15th, probably through the first 2 weeks of October. Because if I back up from November 4th, usually the early voting starts approximately 2 weeks before that. So that gives us a compressed time to interview the number of candidates, which at this point is 25 between school committee and town council, turn around the video, the audio, and the transcript. So with your coordination and your competitors, collaborators, all our neighbors working together, we can do this. Pay attention, this is going to be a moving target, but yeah, it's exciting times for many reasons. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. All right, and anyone online? I think we're good. New business.
Just to reiterate what Mr. Williams said, we're getting better every day. We're better than the day before. There's still a lot of work to do. Even when we open schools to welcome students, this fall we'll continue to work through many of the areas that we need to through school. So I do not want to leave anyone with an impression that we are going to be completely done with every project and everything, but we prioritize the learning spaces, the welcoming of students and families into the buildings, into the core areas, and we'll continue to work at this. And we have a plan. We're excited to continue to move through. So that was just a final comment I wanted to make. Next school committee meeting, we will provide and present our school improvement plans and our district improvement plan. And in line with what Mrs. Morano shared tonight with the alignment around the handbooks, we have very similar alignment with our schools. We've become even more aligned, not just because three middle schools came into one and now there's one plan, but just looking at the elementary, the middle, and the high schools, it's all in one document. We've created more of a story, and it's not a long one, but it's certainly provides information that we hope is reader accessible. We tried to look at this like if someone had no context, didn't watch a presentation, could they look at it, look at this and get a sense? We also added metrics in to make sure that we have some measurability to each of the goals that we're clear about. I appreciated the comments earlier around attendance, for example, but we added to make sure that was some feedback provided last year, and we are really working hard. You know, with all the change, we're still committed to making sure that we improve each of our processes. I'm excited about that as well. The last thing I wanted to mention was we talked a little bit about branding tonight in one conversation. I also know we talked about naming. I don't know if you've seen the squad lockers or like the gear. The PCCs have worked with the principals to work out the Lincoln Street, Washington Street. Franklin High School has their items, Franklin Middle School. So this idea of branding, when I see the teachers today, when I stop by both Lincoln and Washington, Washington had on a W, it's got a panther embedded in it, looks like a panther cub.
Yeah.
The blue, just seeing it across the district is like a unifying idea that I thought was a really nice touch. There's been many people involved in that, I think, and I would just point to all the work with PCCs last year, our principals and their work, but the L and the W have basically the same look, except obviously a different letter. We don't have to do that, but I thought it was a nice touch, and it was a really nice way to show a bit of unity. I'm excited, so if you have a chance, I think if you go to the websites, you could check that out. You don't have to buy anything, but if you just want to see the ideas that are out there, and this will continue.
Even their signatures, the principal signatures, you can see it.
Yes, they each have a signature in there akin. I just think it's a nice example of kind of branding alignment, and we'll continue. But these are things like we did what we could to get off the ground. Now we have to kind of grow the system, you know? So I know you probably can relate to that in your projects.
Oh, I was just going to say, speaking of community, the L and the W are the amazingly talented work of Kayla Nisbet, local mom and parent in the schools, and just overall super talented individual. So
thank you for naming her and her work. I just think it's really a nice touch. So this is a community and a family member who's raising children, and just looking at this, I would have been excited if my daughter and my son were still in elementary school and kind of the work that's happening. So
Thank you so much for bringing that to it is spectacular, and so huge thank you. And if anybody hasn't seen it already, definitely kind of go and check it out. We just bought all of our apparel like an hour before the deadline closed because we went until the last minute, but we got a whole bunch of the L with the Cubs coming along, and it looks spectacular. So thank you very much. I'm glad to know this. Thank you. All right. Okay. Then, executive session. So I will motion, take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
Questions? All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you all. Have a good night.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.